Radio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, proud member partner of the annual New York Television Festival and the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get free free audiobooks when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. Glad to have you with us on this midweek, wherever you are, for the program All About Television. 45 degrees, the top of the hour in New York. We have a power hour coming your way over the next 60 minutes, and we invite you to be part of the power and join us and be in the action. All you got to do, pick up the phone, raise your voice, and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the world. You're on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. You can also be involved with our chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. We have guest 68 now in the room. Hopefully more coming up. And you'll find that chat room at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Use the phone or the room. Either way, we will hear you. And while the program is on the air, you connect others by using Facebook Timeline. You go to the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio or Speaker screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. And now joining me live here in New York, formerly of Telemundo and NBC Universal, the president of Combate Americas, which events you can see on Univision and Univision Portas regularly, Jackie Hernandez. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Simon. Good afternoon. It's so great to be on your show.
It is a pleasure, Jackie. We've known each other for a long time because we work at Telemundo and NBC Universal, and finally delighted to have you on the show for the very first time. How is Combate doing?
We are doing gangbusters. We're doing really, really well, Simon. Our numbers are growing. We are on multiple different platforms. We're in Spanish and English, as you've mentioned, on Spanish on Univision and Univision Deportes, on English on DAZN. We are global. We're in Mexico, Latin America. We're in Spain. You know, it's really been a fantastic year for us with tremendous growth, great ratings, great audience. Facebook Live, Facebook Watch, 13 million people watching us on any given event. So it's been quite a year for us, and I'm really excited about the what's ahead.
Of all the things you could do, Jackie, after leaving Telemundo and its parent NBC Universal, why did you decide this was the place for you to be entrepreneurial, really guide your own ship?
I'm so glad you're asking. I knew you were going to. You know, when I left, and it was really a lot of thought. It was a difficult decision for me to make because I loved Telemundo and building that brand. But I also wanted to see what was going on in the universe with all the disruption. And I first actually started my own company, which was M2Z, focused on millennial, multicultural, and Gen Z. And the first phone call I got was from Campbell McLaren, who's the CEO and founder of Combate Americas. He's also, 25 years ago, he founded the UFC. And I met him when I was at Telemundo. He was just launching Combate Americas, and he wanted to air his reality show to launch the company. And we ended up partnering together and putting it on Mundos, which I know you know very well. And it did really, really well. And Campbell and I stayed friends throughout the years. So when he heard that I was launching a company that was going to focus on the consumer, the millennial multicultural Gen Z, which I call the game changers that actually allow the disruptors to disrupt, he said, "Boy, do I have a company for you. Mine. I want to be your first client." And I went out to one of his events in California, and Simon, I was really blown away. The median age in the venue was 27 years old, packed Hispanics, males, but also females, families, and really avid super, I call them super fanaticos. And I saw that what he has been building throughout all these years was truly gold. It was mixed martial arts is one of the fastest growing sports. The Hispanic population is one of the fastest growing populations. And here you had something that, you know, a sport that underserves in a way the Hispanic consumer. And Campbell figured out that if he super served it, that the Latino market would rise to it and really embrace it. And that is exactly what has been happening. And so after working with him and we successfully, carried it to broadcast, built this, I'll talk about this a little bit later, but something called the Copa Combate. Before I knew it, when he asked me to come on full-time as his president, I was hooked. And this was truly a disruptor brand and a disruptor company in a growing, fast space of sports, which, as you know, live television and live streaming sports is very attractive to the consumer. So that's how my journey came to be.
Aside from really going after the Latino audience, how does Combate differentiate from UFC, from Bellator, from all the other mixed martial leagues?
Well, in a number of ways. One is the actual fighting, the actual sport of Combate. Because the athletes are Latino from U.S. Hispanic or Latin background, South America and Spain, there's a lot of influence from boxing. So our tagline is much more action, MMA, mucha más acción. And it's because there's a lot more, you see a lot more action in this, in Combate's actual style of the fight. The second one is because everyone is from those countries, we really look to develop country versus country. So all of our events culminate at the end of every year with a Copa Combate, which is like the World Cup of mixed martial arts for us. And as you know, for Hispanics, football or soccer is huge. It's the number one sport by far. And the passion for country, for nation, for national pride, for heritage is huge. And so folks will either come because they love a particular athlete, or they're coming because they want to see their country win. And so when you have Mexico versus USA or Spain versus Chile, people will come wearing jerseys and carrying flags, and it's very much like you see with the football craze for the Latino community, but kind of translated here and transferred to our fans. So that's another big differentiator.
How often does Univision and Univision Deportes and Facebook Watch play your matches? Is it weekly? Is it monthly? What kind of frequency? And what's been the response up to this point to what they've done?
Sure. It's weekly. We do a live event every other week pretty much. When there's a lot of soccer, like last summer when the World Cup was on, we tend to go dark because we don't want to compete with something that we also love and we know our consumer loves. We are on at midnight on Fridays, and then every week we're live. And then the second week, what we do is we show never seen before on air fights. So we'll do them at the live event, but we won't air them until the following week. The results have been really extraordinary. I mean, the ratings have been up to over 600,000 on some nights at midnight, beating other competitors in the sports world. I'm talking about, you know, competitors not just in mixed martial arts like Bellator, which is in English, you know, as very well, but also some soccer even. And the numbers have also brought in a younger audience to television. And as I mentioned, we're also on this. I'm sorry?
Go ahead, Jackie. You're fine.
Okay. So it's been able to not just grow week after week after week on a continuous basis, but also grow with a younger mix and a younger audience, which has been fantastic for us.
Jackie Hernandez, formerly of Telemundo and NBC Universal, she is now the president of Combate Americas, which is not only running on Univision and Univision Deportes, it's also on DAZN. That is the new smart TV sports service that is running by former ESPN skipper, John Skipper. And you can also see Combate regularly as a series on Facebook Watch, available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Jackie joins us live from New York this half hour on Tomorrow We Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Happy to have you with us on this Wednesday edition of the program All About Television. We're normally on Mondays and Fridays at this very hour on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. If you have a question or comment for Jackie, don't be shy. Make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. We have a tech-oriented hour coming your way on Friday. First up, the co-host, executive producer of the Bloomberg television series carried worldwide, Beyond Innovation, Michael Bancroft. We'll find out from him his thoughts about Apple's TV announcements from earlier this week, about the interactive gaming movement that both Google and Apple are now involved with, involving smart TV sets, and much, much more. Also, we'll have one of the key people at J.D. Power get that person's thoughts about Apple. His name is Ian Greenblatt. And you'll hear both of them, Michael and Ian, Friday, 3:30 Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Jackie, how is the Facebook Watch series doing, and how is that different from what you do on Univision?
So what we'll do there, Simon, is we'll do not just the live streaming in Mexico outside of the U.S., but we also air our preliminary undercard. So it's longer. It's a longer period of time. We will stream everything from the prelims to our live event globally, ex-U.S. and Canada. And the reason we do that is because in the U.S. we have our deal with Univision and also with DAZN, and we want to make those platforms where our consumers go in the U.S. So those are the differences there. And it's streamed in Spanish because of that reason.
And what about working with John Skipper and his people on his venture, which is starting to really formulate itself here in the United States, again on smart TV sets and devices, DAZN or DAZN, as it can be called?
First of all, John Skipper is just wonderful to work with. He is a delightful person, super smart, and I've really enjoyed working with him and his team. Joseph Markowski in particular runs the U.S. Initiative for DAZN. Recently, they just announced that now it's $99.99 a year for the pricing for it, which I think is just a tremendous deal when you see all the great sports that they have on the platform, from Canelo to, of course, Combate America to everything else that's carried there. You know, it's just one flat fee, and you can just have a great time on DAZN. The quality of the programming and the experience is phenomenal. We love that. We love not only working with them, but we have an English language programming team that does all of our programming for them. And our CEO, Campbell, loves doing spots for them. So it's been really a great partnership that we continue to want to develop and continue to want to grow.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned a moment ago that you're getting upwards of 600,000 people watching on Univision or Univision Deportes, and that's at midnight. Have you talked with them about doing events that would start in prime time or at the very least 11 o'clock, the beginning of the late night period, especially given the fact that now you have ESPN doing UFC events in prime time once a week? It's like ESPN and also ESPN Plus, which is their smart TV service.
Yes, Juan Carlos Rodriguez runs Univision Sports Deportes, has been just really a fan of the work that we've been working with them on. We've done some specials for Univision Deportes, and we have aired, and I think we have one coming up that will be at 11 o'clock in a few weeks. So it is something that we're always looking at and looking at ways that we can continue to be innovative and working together.
I want to get into another aspect of your organization in a moment, but first, there has been a lot of buzz in the wrestling world about the fact that we have had in the last year really a growth of women wrestlers and more prominence of women in WWE. There was the all-pay-per-view event last fall. WrestleMania now is going to happen for the very first time. The main event will be women, including a former UFC champ, Ronda Rousey. Former mixed martial arts champion. But you have an event coming up that is your first effort into the all-women's field.
We are so excited about this. It will be on April 26th in California, in Los Angeles, at the Gallen Center. And it is our first, you're absolutely right, all-women's fight card. And it's called Reinas del Combate. So it's the Queens of Combat. And it'll be a live event where we will have, Super Melly Martinez, who has been undefeated to date, who will be headlining against Caroline Gallardo. It's really exciting because these women are very They train with a lot of determination. They're super strong. They honor all of the respect and honor of the mixed martial arts. And when you see them and they're fighting, it's really remarkable to watch. And afterwards, there's always so much respect for one another at the end of it, each one of these, that I think it's going to be an incredible night of television. So we're very excited about it. And I hope, you know, the invitation is out to you, Simon. I'd love for you to come. And if not, at least to be able to watch it because on one of our platforms, because we're super proud of it and very excited. And we're currently working on a great ad campaign that really we're shows a lot of excitement about how we can position these women in this sport at this particular time. I mean, I really believe it is an incredible time to be a woman, and to be able to honor and empower women is so incredibly important to me.
Yeah. Where was the event going to run?
It'll run on Univision Deportes, DAZN. And then internationally, of course, on all of our other platforms. And that's where you'll be able to see it in the U.S.
Now, you also have a production studio as part of Combate. Are you looking at doing – I know the WWE Studios just hired Susan Levinson, formerly of the MTV and VH1, to take WWE Studios and really expand it into a major production company that does TV series, TV movies, as well as theatricals that they've done for some time, or home video or direct-to-video things. Are you looking at doing the same thing with this unit, and is there anything in the works to keep an eye out for?
100%. La Jaula Studios. La Jaula is, in Spanish, the translation is the cage, and it's where we hold our events, and it's very precious to us. La Jaula Studios launched last summer, and it is to be able to do branded entertainment, lifestyle content, docuseries, short form, long form, films, television shows, content for OTT partners. And it really came from the stories behind the athletes. Just for me coming into this business, what fascinated me the most was the stories of these great fighters, how they became interested in mixed martial arts, what they have to do to train, the determination, their passion for different, you know, is it Muay Thai, is it boxing, what is it that attracted them to the arts in general? And then the other thing is they all come from beautiful, amazing countries, from Latin America or many different cities across the U.S. And so bringing those stories to life is what La Jaula Studio is really about. Last year, we started by doing branded entertainment and content for one of our big partners, which is Cricket Wireless. And it was a whole campaign that we did tied to Unlimited, which is their tagline and brand positioning. And it was looking at the unlimited determination that our fighters had. And it was telling their stories through content tied to the Cricket Wireless brand. We're continuing to work on a campaign with them this year, but that's just one element of what we're doing. We also have the rights to several of the fighters and their stories and their lifestyles. One great one that we're excited about is our champion last year, Aldai, has a story where he was a dreamer who came to this country as a young boy, was later deported, came back, became an American citizen, joined mixed martial arts, trained, and then ended up being Combate's champion. So a story like that is just a really wonderful story to be able to tell.
Have you been pitched yet on a scripted series that features a Combate fighter as the main character, or the world of your organization as the main character? And if so, is there something like that in the works, or do you expect something like that to happen down the road?
You mean by a third party?
Either by a third party or through your organization.
We have somebody, a third party has come to us. I can't reveal yet because they don't have a, I can't tell you who it is yet, but they have asked us if we could integrate a Combate fighter into their storyline. I think that we will be seeing much more of that as the sport becomes much bigger and much more mainstream, as it is becoming every single day. And then we ourselves are developing reality shows, docu-series, and all different types of formats around our different fighters. And not just our fighters. I mean, we have a brand ambassador in Alberto Del Rio. We have, even the story of the mixed martial arts in general with the founder of the sport, with Campbell McLaren. So we're looking at many different angles and many different storylines that we could really develop rich, wonderful dialogues with consumers to live on multiple platforms.
Combate Americas, the organization headed by Jack Hernandez, can be seen regularly at midnight on Univision and Univision Deportes, which is their sports, all sports channel. Also, it's carried on Facebook Watch and on DAZN, the smart TV sports venture that was set up last year by former ESPN president John Skipper. Jack Hernandez is with us, the president of Combate Americas, live from New York here on Smart. We televised this half hour. Simon Applebaum also is live from the Big Apple, which is 45 degrees today. By the way, coming up later tonight in the Big Apple, 80 networks will be having their annual programming showcase during this, what we call upfront season. Also tonight in New York at Tiffany's Wall Street, the annual diversity dinner by the T. Howard Foundation, some of the honorees, stars, and the ABC series Fresh Off the Boat. Congratulations to all the honorees and the great work that T. Howard Foundation does. We have a few more minutes with Jackie, and if you have a question or comment for her, don't be shy. Be involved. 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. If you missed our special evening episode on Monday, our special roundtable on the Apple announcements regarding television that were made on Monday afternoon, you can check it out at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, also on Apple TV and Speakers podcast app, iTunes, and the IR Radio Podcast Network. Just go to iHeartRadio.com, put Tomorrow Televised in the search bar, click, and you're in. And coming up our next half hour, we've got a new winner for our classic trivia segment. You'll find who it is and the answer to our question we've been posing for the last 2 weeks. It's all coming up in our next half hour. Jackie, couldn't let you go without your thoughts about where you see Spanish language television overall at. Definitely, in the last year or two, a lot of developments, everything from weekly series, some involving Netflix. We have your former organization now doing what may be their best novella yet, Betty in Nueva York, which was shot both in New York and Miami. Looks great, great cast. I think the person who plays Ugly Betty should be nominated for an Emmy Award for Best Actress in a Drama Series. We're seeing more sports on the various channels. And also, we've been seeing reality shows, magazine shows, game shows like Estrella TV's revival of Family Feud in Spanish. It seems that there is a sense now that it's not just one type of format in prime time. You can do all sorts of things.
Yeah, I love the innovation that we're seeing in the Spanish space. And I agree with you. I thought that I think the Betty show is really well done as well. And it was fun for me to watch it being a native New Yorker and seeing a bilingual show that felt so modern in New York City in the Big Apple. But I think we're just going to continue to see that more and more. The bar has been raised. Innovation is now being breathed across all television, really, and Spanish language TV is I think really reinventing itself continuously. I watch a lot of Spanish content on Netflix as well. You mentioned Netflix, and I think that too has entered into the space and brought new genres. I mean, there's La Casa de Papel. I don't know if you've heard of that show, but it's really fantastic. It became like a big hit on Netflix, and it comes with subtitles. So I think it's something you should watch because a lot of people that I know that don't speak Spanish have actually gotten hooked on it as well. So I think we're going to continue to see a trend of new formats, new stories, crossover stories. I know that ABC has a show that was on both Univision and also on Netflix called El Gran Hotel that they're now readapting into English that's coming out, I think, this summer. Eva Longoria is leading that up. So just more crossover, crisscross. It's exciting, and I want to see more of it continue to happen.
I'm also seeing one other thing, the growth of weekly hours. El Vato, which is going into its third season on Universal, Fulvio Mundos, terrific show produced here in the U.S., and, of course, you mentioned Netflix with El Chapo, which had great success with El Chapo on Univision. Narcos, which is now in a new format. It's the fourth season on on that service, and we understand there'll be more Univision partnerships down the road. I think they have a show coming up, which has not started yet, but it has been filmed, and from what I understand, it deals with the world of journalism and how it deals with some major events. So it should be a very interesting, some interesting formats that are popping up.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting to go to the upfront this year and see what else is coming out. I'm looking forward to it.
Goodbye to America. So you can catch it weekly on Univision and Univision Report Desk. If you want to know more details about Jackie's organization, here's where you go online, www.combatamericas.com. That's www.combatamericas.com. Of course, you can also go for Univision's coverage of the sport, www.univision.com, www.univision.com. Jackie Hernandez, President of Combate Americas, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on how your organization's been going so far under your run. Hopefully many, many more years to come. And it's been a delight to have you finally on this program for the first time.
Thank you so much, Simon. I'm looking forward to seeing you very soon. I'm sure I'll bump into you at one of the upfronts coming up.
No question. Looking forward to the rendezvous. You take care. All the greatest.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Nunez, from Combate Americas, joining us live here in New York. More Tamami Televised coming your way, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. If you didn't hear Oprah Winfrey speak at the close of that Apple TV event in Cupertino, California, Monday, you might not know that she has a brand new audiobook available called The Path Made Clear. And you can get it right now if you take your trial run at Audible.com. Now, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 180,000 titles to choose from. You listen to my name device or whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. All you got to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. You get 3 free audiobooks, 1 from the normal catalog and 2 from the growing group of Audible Originals. Everything from original audio productions to one woman, one man shows and Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater material. And you can get, as I said, 3 books for 1 month. Or if you just want to write and subscribe on an annual basis, you can do that and save $50 off from now until April 4th. So if you want more details, audibletrial.com/televised. audibletrial.com/televised. And hear for yourself how audible.com will transform the way you hear the world. This is Tamami Televised, the program about the tube, now in our 12th year on the air. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Delighted you're with us on this special midweek edition. Hope you make us a regular habit, normally Mondays and Fridays at this very hour. And remember, if you'd like to catch up on episodes you've missed, what you got to do is, anytime you like, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while you're at it, check out MediaVillage.com. It's the great B2B site that shows leadership in the world of TV and media. I write a series of columns about the upfront or programming previews taking place this spring. Also, we do columns on the world of advanced television, everything from interactivity to smart TV sets and smart devices, new programming services, cutting edge, and a whole lot more. So check out not only what I'm doing, but people like Jack Myers, E.B. Marsh, Charlene Weiser, Ed Martin, Juan Ayala, and much, much more. And also Jeff Minsky, the new tech columnist who we had on this program Monday as part of our Apple Roundtable. Once again, it's www.mediavillage.com. It's great reading, and I hope you make it a regular habit. When we come back, a very sensitive subject, blind people portraying blind characters on television. It has come to a head with the new CW series, In the Dark. We will have an exclusive live interview with the president of the National Federation of the Blind, Mark Riccobono, and we'll find out about his new campaign, Let Us Play Us. He joins us live from Baltimore after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. www.blogtalkradio.com and speaker.com. More than 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. BTR is your home for The Cinephiles. It's the interesting show about film and much, much more. Catch The Cinephiles today, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best BTR 24/7 on YouTube. Welcome back to Tamami Televised for a Wednesday afternoon. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Another great guest coming your way in the half hour ahead, plus the answer to our customary question and a new classic trivia winner. We've got a great prize in store. If you have a question or comment for our next guest, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. One of the ongoing issues in television is this. Should people of Disability play characters of disability in scripted television series, whether the character has a loss of hearing, a loss of sight, or a loss of limb. It is an ongoing situation. It's a very sensitive one, which we have covered time and again on this program. And we're doing it again today because of a show on the CW that has come to a head with one organization, the National Federation of the Blind. The CW series In the Dark premieres next Thursday. And now joining us live from Baltimore in an intermediate exclusive, the president of NFB, Mark Rico Bono. Mark, thank you for making the time to be with us.
Thank you very much, Simon. It's a pleasure to be with you.
And a pleasure on our too. Mark, first of all, tell everybody about your organization, how long it's been involved, and what it does.
Sure. The National Federation of the Blind was founded in 1940. It's the nation's premier membership organization of blind people. We like to say that of is the most important word in our name because we are a membership organization of blind people. And our organization, the National Federation of the Blind, knows that blindness is not the characteristic that defines you or your future. And every day we work to raise the expectations for blind people because we recognize that low expectations create obstacles between blind people and our dreams, that blind people can live the lives they want, and that blindness is not what holds them back. And so what do? Well, if it deals with how blind people participate fully in society, we have a hand in it. If it's training, quality training for blind people to know the techniques that blind people use, we do that. We do mentoring for blind people. We provide scholarships. We create employment opportunities. We do a lot of advocacy work and legislative work. And maybe most importantly, we work on all of the time the public perception about blindness because we know that the biggest problem we face as blind people in society are the misconceptions about blindness. And so we are constantly working on giving a true portrayal of what blindness is and what it is not through the everyday lives of blind people.
What do you term a misconception?
Well, stereotypes about blindness and the impact that it has on blind people. There are plenty of misconceptions out there. Maybe one is that all blind people, if they're walking down the street, they're automatically in need of help. How do I know it's a misconception? Because it doesn't matter how well I'm dressed. I wear a suit 5 days a week most of the time, and sometimes more than that when I'm doing the business of the National Federation of the Blind. It doesn't matter where I walk, how fast and confidently I walk. Because I'm a blind person, people run up to me. They often grab me, and they want to help me do something, even though in a lot of places that I go, I know better than they do about where to go. But the misconception is that because I'm a blind person and because I'm out by myself, I must be lost.
Mark, how long has your organization been dealing with this subject of having blind characters on scripted television series, whatever the plot line is or whatever the overall premise of the program is, played by blind actors?
So it's a great question, Simon. You know, our major historical concern has been the portrayal of blindness in whatever form, making sure that it is an authentic, realistic portrayal of blindness and that the blind characters represent more of the lived experience of blind people, not sort of bumbling Mr. Magoo model. So that's really where we focused our energy. We have for a long time had a division of our organization of blind people in the performing arts and have been interested in getting blind people into these spaces. But our focus has often been on the messaging. And what we have noticed is that that really has not been working. That has not been working. And one of the reasons we know it's not working from recent conversations over the last few years is the fact that there is a lot of discrimination and artificial barriers that keeps blind people out of the entertainment industry. And so that's part of why we have now turned our attention to saying, okay, it's not, we haven't gotten the message across by saying you really should consult us about the blind characters that you're going to have. That message hasn't been strong enough to make the change in the industry we want, and that's why we've taken on this idea of, okay, well, if that's not going to do it, then let's get blind people, and not just blind people into the business. We need a lead character played by a blind person, because there's never been one. And especially with the In the Dark show that's maybe going to premiere next week, we've urged them not to do it. They went out of their way to really justify why they couldn't find a competent blind person to play the part, and part of their justification was all of the many organizations they reached out to find blind people, except that we know they did not reach out to the National Federation of the Blind, which is the largest one in the United States. So I guess they didn't look that hard. So that's why we're taking our message of worrying about the messaging of these shows to, all right, it's really got to come down to the authenticity of the people playing these roles.
When In the Dark was announced last spring at the CW's fall programming preview, and they had clips of the pilot that was made, did your organization reach out to Mark Pedowitz, the head of the CW, or to Corinne Kinsbury, who is the executive producer and showrunner of the series? I know that I talked to Mark at the time, and he told me that the show was based on an actual blind person who they had worked with on a special CW community outreach campaign. And they were so inspired by that person, that's why they went ahead and developed this series.
Sure. We did not reach out at that time. I think it didn't hit our radar that it happened. And again, part of the idea here was that they claim to have done all of this work to really work with blind people. Well, I mean, there isn't a more extensive organization out there than ours. So we had no idea. So what really got a lot of people to notice this, and certainly got us to notice it, was their going out of the way to say how they just couldn't find a blind person to play the lead role. And, you know, even what I think is another slight to blind people is they went out of their way to say they couldn't get a real guide dog to play the guide dog, which comparing the two is ridiculous. So we have reached out now, and we have urged that we have a meeting by April 2nd, to really talk about it. It's possible there's some things we don't know here. They have written back and said, why don't you watch the 13 episodes, and then we can talk. And we don't think that's acceptable.
Two things I want to alert here. First of all, we are trying to get Corinne Kinsbury, the executive producer and showrunner of the program, on our program. In fact, her publicist has reached out to us, and we're trying to get her on next week, the next Monday or Friday, and we will raise the subject with her. That's number one. Number two, my understanding of the show is that they did hire a blind writer as a major part of the production team. Also, they have hired a blind actress in a major supporting role. And there may be some consultation with the person that, again, was the inspiration for the series. So that's my understanding. And as I said, once we get Corinne on, we will we will address this overall. So at this point, there is so what do you want the CW to do at this point?
At this point, we've called for them to cancel the show and reshoot it. That's our stance at the moment. We have asked for a meeting in advance of the pilot, specifically before April 2nd, to talk about it in detail and to see if we can come to an understanding. We believe that there's a more systemic problem here, and that they are really going out of their way to justify that they're doing something extraordinary when really they haven't gone out of their way to be an innovator in terms of including blind people in the industry. And I'd like to have the conversation with them on behalf of the Blind of America and see if we can come to an agreement about that. We think this is an important moment in the entertainment industry, where we think it's long overdue to change the way in which blind people are included as being authentic representatives of blind people in the entertainment industry. So we're hoping that we have a meeting by April 2nd. If not, me and a couple hundred or so of my friends will be outside of the CBS corporate offices in New York on April 2nd. I'd invite you to come with us, Simon.
Margaret Gabota is the president of the National Federation of the Blind, and we are talking to him about the situation involving the CW's In the Dark. He is joining us live from Baltimore this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. We want to hear from you, so give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Our next episode, by the way, is Friday at this very time, 3:30 Eastern Pacific. And joining us will be Michael Bancroft. He is the co-host and executive producer of the popular Bloomberg television series Beyond Innovation. We'll get his thoughts on the Apple TV situation. The announcement was made on Monday. Also, talk with Apple Arcade, the very interactive gaming service that will use television as well as the iPhone. Also, we'll have one of the key people with J.D. Power. Ian Greenblatt will join us. He's got some very interesting details about how far Apple will go to make their Apple TV Plus service work. Both Michael and Ian live with us Friday, 3:30 Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. Mark, speaking of Apple, at their event on Monday, they showcased a program called C. It's from Stephen F. Tonight, who is the creator of did Spartacus for Stars, was worked on Daredevil's first season for Netflix. We had him on the show when he did Spartacus, a very, very talented writer, executive producer. And C is a program, it's a scripted series, with Jason Momoa and Alfre Woodard, two marvelous actors, I might add, that deal with a post-apocalyptic Earth or planet where the survivors are blind. Has your organization reached out to Apple or Steve and his production team about trying to get as many blind actors as possible involved in that series, or to have blind writers, producers involved in the making of the show?
Yes, we are in the process of reaching out. I don't know if the letter has officially been sent yet, but we did notice this announcement, and it's been on our radar to reach out, and we've drafted a letter to go out. So certainly they will have received a letter from us before the week is over, again, with the hope of having the conversation so we can first learn about it. You know, we haven't been consulted in this before, and that of course, is a disappointment, because we have been telling the industry for a long time we're available to talk about these things. And we want blind people to be embedded earlier in the conversation. And since we represent blind people, myself, I'm elected by the thousands of blind people who come to our national convention every year. We want to make sure we're having this conversation earlier. We have for some time been telling the industry that we'd like to be in the conversation. Usually what happens is, couple weeks before something comes out. They give us a little preview, and then they say, well, what do you think? And, of course, that is nice, but it's not like they're going to do anything a couple weeks before they launch it. So we do intend to engage with Apple, and we like to be involved. And hopefully they're taking the right steps and have an openness to working with the National Federation of the Blind.
Because it sounds like that Series C, given what Tim Cook said, I don't know if you saw his presentation on Monday, but it seems that Tim Cook repeatedly was saying with Apple TV Plus they would like to have not only the world's greatest storytellers involved, like a Steven Spielberg or an Oprah Winfrey, or in this case Steven S. Tonight, but also to do to raise some social issues and also have the kind of high-end storytelling that could get a mass audience, but also could be moving, inspiring, really engaging the audience in dealing with social issues. And it seems that a show like C could be a breakthrough for the blind community.
Yeah, we would hope so, and certainly we as an organization would want to contribute to that, since we work on these social issues day in and day out. I mean, I can tell you just a couple hours ago I was on the phone with a blind woman who was at the hospital. She was supposed to be taking a baby home that she was going to be foster parent to, and the doctor was telling her, no, I can't send this baby home with a blind person. So there are real issues to deal with, and that's why the misrepresentation of blind people and the capabilities of blind people on television has real detrimental effects on the everyday lives of blind people. That's why we want to be involved with this.
Well, welcome guest 102 into our chat room. Thanks for coming aboard. If you have a question or comment, put it in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. What kind of relationship does your organization have with people who create television shows or movies, whether it is Warner Media, or Warner Brothers, Lionsgate, Universal, independent production companies, and so on? That's part one. Part two, we've started to see over the last couple of years, women of color, people of color launched their own production companies. A couple of years ago, two producers who are deaf, writer, producer, or deaf or hard of hearing, put together a show called This Close. They made a pilot. It was shown at Sundance Film Festival as part of their TV outreach. It was picked up by Super Deluxe until recently, a part of Turner, and it became a series on Sundance Now, their streaming service. And we had them, by the way, we had them on our program. And so I'm wondering if in your outreach, A, what kind of relationship do you have with people who produce television? B, have you thought about or have there been efforts to try to encourage blind people to form their own production companies or be involved with major shows in some major capacity or find some sort of some outreach?
Yeah, so great question. A lot of the engagement we have had, as I said, has been from these production companies reaching out to us after they've produced something. And that's where, with this Let Us Play Us campaign, we're really trying to change that dynamic to have us involved much, much earlier in building that relationship. So that's kind of the thrust of what we are trying to do, is get to a place where we can have a real partnership with the largest organization of blind people. To your second point, I mentioned that we already have a division of blind people in the performing arts, and we've been talking now for a little while about how to increase that outreach effort. So at our national convention this year, which is the largest gathering of any group of people with disabilities on an annual basis, we'll have over 3,000 blind people at our convention in Las Vegas, July 7 to 12, and encourage everybody to come. We're going to be putting together some, we're currently talking about some new courses at our convention to expose blind people to this area, get them interested in it, and also teach them the techniques that blind people might use in this space. So that's innovative, groundbreaking thing we're talking about, and we're very open to, you know, creating some industry partnerships that might open some other doors where we know blind people have faced discrimination in terms of getting into training programs, that sort of thing. The other piece is that, you know, we want to be the connector for blind people who are in the industry, whether it's at the television level or at the local theater level. So our organization is a connector where blind people can come together and share these ideas and then mentor that to the next generation. So hopefully that we have more people, blind people in the pipeline who are ready to take on these dynamic roles that might be coming out of a network like the one Apple's putting together.
Have you invited Apple, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, CBS All Access, new players like who are coming in like WarnerMedia, Walmart, Disney with Disney Plus, Comcast's proposed service with NBC Universal, all of which will be doing a lot of original programming to take part in this. And I don't know if you, by the way, hear about Amazon. Amazon just about a week ago approved a series about autism, featuring, which was produced, by the way, by people in the autism community, that Jason Kadams, the producer of Friday Night Lights and Parenthood, is adapting into a television series for Amazon, who is very committed, by the way, in making sure that that people who are autistic are on all levels involved in the series. It seems that there may be a sensitivity here that some of these services have already toward people of color and so forth that they might want to participate in this conference you're having.
Yeah, that's great. So some of them, you know, Amazon and Netflix in particular, have been at our convention before. But as I say, with this Let Us Play Us campaign, we're really trying to take that to the next level. So that may be a next step, is to invite all these players to our national convention to have that real broad-based dialogue about how do we really take this beyond just a nod to including blind people, but to make it a real effort that's not doesn't just include blind people, but some of it's driven by blind people. So that's great.
Mm-hmm. One of the elements, before we let you go, one of the elements of Let Us Play Us will be instituted beyond the whole situation within the dark going forward.
Well, we're developing that as we speak and as we have some of these conversations. So as I've indicated, some of this will happen at our national convention. We'll certainly be inviting players from the industry to meet with us to talk about how we can strengthen the participation of blind people in the industry and make more concerted efforts to do that. Also, how do we increase the training opportunities for blind people so that they have access to getting into the industry and knowing where the opportunities are? So I think this effort of Let Us Play Us is really the beginning of taking the whole idea of blind people in this industry to a new level.
If you want to know more about the work of Mark's organization, here's where you go online, www.nfb.org. That's www.nfb, that stands for the National Federation of the Blind.org. You can find out more about the Let Us Play Us campaign. And once again, I want to let you know that we are trying to get Corinne Kingsbury, the executive producer and showrunner of In the Dark, which premieres next week on the CW on this program, and we will obviously address all of this with her as well. And we'll keep you posted. Hopefully on Friday we will get the booking as to whether it should be on either next Monday or Friday. Marvin DeBono, the president of the National Federation of Blind, thank you very much for joining us. Good luck with your situation. Let's hope the outcome is good for everybody, especially for the people you represent. And keep us posted about the situation on April 4th, and we may be able to show up there, hopefully.
Thank you, Simon. I appreciate it, and keep up your great work.
Thank you very much, Mark. I really appreciate it. And I want you to know that we are committed to really showcasing diversity in all of its forums and really advocating more people empowered to get into the medium, that people who see themselves not in the mainstream of television are in the mainstream of television. That's one of our mandates in this program, and it will continue going forward. Mark, thank you again. All the greatest. Have a great day now.
Thank you. You too.
Mark DeBono from the National Federation of the Blind joining us live from Baltimore, Maryland. And now, our latest Classic Trivia winner, Her name is Hope Cochran from New York, New York. And if the name sounds familiar, guess what? She was a guest on this program earlier this month talking about her new venture, Sonderblue, that will be premiering on smart TV sets and smart TV devices this fall. The question, who was the original judge on the original divorce court in the 1960s? The answer, Voltaire Perkins. He really wasn't a judge. He was an actor. In fact, in one of his acting roles in the 1950s on a program called Schlitzkrieg of Stars, he acted opposite, guess who? James Dean. Voltaire Perkins was the answer to our classic trivia question we've had over the last 2 weeks. Hope Cochran of New York, New York is our winner. She got the answer this morning. And for that, Hope, you're going to be winning Working Actor by David Dean Petrell, also a previous TWBT guest. And that prize will be coming your way from the publisher shortly. We'll have a new classic trivia question for you on Friday's episode. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't get your close your name where you're emailing from. And if you're first with the correct answer, you will win, and we'll highlight you on this program. And who knows, you may win a prize as well. So again, congratulations to Hope Cochran of New York, New York. And if you want to hear the episode she was on earlier this month, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out the podcast version on Apple TV and Spreaker, or iTunes and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Again, thank you to both of our guests, Mark Rigabono from the National Federation of the Blind and Jackie Hernandez from Combat the Americas for being with us on this Power Hour. We're back with you on Friday. Joining us then will be Michael Bancroft of Beyond Innovation on Bloomberg Television and Ian Greenblatt of JD Power. Should be a very fun tech and interactive-oriented discussion. Remember, we'd like to hear from you. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. We'd love to hear from you because what you say matters. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, also the Blog Talk Radio speaker and iHeartRadio. Tomorrow's Televised was brought today by Audible.com, an Amazon company. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For 3 free audiobooks and 1 month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. But tomorrow we televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Thanks for being Blog Talk Radio speaker that puts us on the air every Monday and Friday and special editions like today. We hope you have a great rest of your Wednesday and your midweek. And be with us again in less than 48 hours, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, Friday. You know where, Blog Talk Radio speaker and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to from now until next Friday, please make it safe and make it great. And until the next time, stay well. And stay tuned.
Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. A pair of presidents headlined today's special hour. Up first, Jackie Hernandez, the former Telemundo and NBC Universal executive, now running Combate America, the Latino Mixed Martial Arts Showcase. She joins me next. Up second, Mark Rigabono, president of the National Federation of the Blind. His organization wants blind characters on scripted TV series played primarily by blind actors. The current focus of NFB's Let Us Play Us movement, In the Dark, launching on the CW next Thursday. That discussion next half hour. Also ahead, our latest classic trivia winner. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum. I'm simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk.